Before we begin our Torah study, let's pray together. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kidshenu B'Mitzvotav V'Tzivanu La'Asok B'Divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. Well, this week we're reading from Parshat Truma, where the Lord speaks to Moses that he's to tell Israel to give a special offering in order to build a house for the Lord. And it's a house that's supposed to be representative of what the Lord showed Moses is the heavenly house. And it's fascinating because nobody else has a picture of what's going on, only Moses and the Lord. But Moses is to receive an offering of the specific materials that are necessary to build the house. And he has to specify those to Israel so that the children of Israel will give the materials and help bring this about. Years ago, when we made the agreement to have this facility, it was because we were praying, Lord, what kind of house do you want? And if you remember where we were on Bay Meadows in the Commerce Center, it was a great house for the journey. It had no windows. It had no natural light. And it was in the rear, literally, of an office complex. But it was a good place to be for a period. And I remember we had a desire for a better place, and we had a search committee, and we were looking and looking and looked at more than 100 places. And we found another place that was also a flex space in an office complex. It was about the best we could do. And I was at the point of just saying, well, it's the best we can do. And other people on the team, like Brian Stone, said, well, if that's the best we can do, what's the point? And I thought, you know, you got to keep moving. You can't just stay stuck. Well, Sandy was unlike the rest of us because she thought there's something out there. And I convinced her, I tried to convince her, that she was just being optimistic and hopeful. And which she often tells me, you know, I think you're just being unrealistic. So I said to her, we've seen everything, honey. There's nothing more. And she said, I just know there's something more. So she was talking to a real estate guy and talking about his name, and he said something about his name not being one ethnic group but another because his family had been Dutch, correct? And Sandy says, we love the Dutch. And pretty soon they're having a new conversation about the Dutch and dear friends we have in Netherlands and close connections we have with the Dutch. And then she tells him about a trip that we took that really the Lord inspired. A group of 13 of us went to Budapest and then to Holland to get vision for a new place. And so she's describing to him some of the things that are in her heart, some of the things she's seen in the spirit and physically. And all of a sudden, he wakes up and he says, we've got one more place. I hadn't thought of this. And Sandy said, take us there now. And so he brought us over here. And as we got out of the cars and we were walking up, you remember Brian, you remember Eric, you, those of you who were here at that time, remember, we just said, this is the place. This is it. And it didn't seem possible. But God made it possible. The rent was far too high. And so with Sandy's negotiating, it came way, way down. There was favor on her. Really? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there were moments when, you know, this real estate investment company, $4 billion of assets, when their representatives were saying, I don't know why we're saying yes to this. Of course, it was during the downturn, the economic downturn. But they moved people out of the middle space so that we could have, you know, these three buildings. They agreed for us to take the next space over, which we are just now getting ready to use, which is so exciting. And they agreed to give us an incredible lease for a total of 20 years. So it's awesome. So we're here. And we get not only light, we get a lake. Right? And I am so glad that we didn't say, we'll just have to do with another warehouse. It's the best we could do. Sometimes it takes people who say, there's got to be something better. Even when you think that that's not possible. And so, honey, thank you for your vision and your faithfulness. Now, here's the truth, and we're going to look at the scriptures and see how this all connects. We were planning to have the grand opening next week for Purim, because we knew by then we could have everything in place that we needed in order to have a full grand opening. And, of course, we've been using this temporarily as we were preparing for the new furnishings. We just used what we had, folding chairs, folding plastic tables. You know, sort of looked like a school cafeteria kind of place. And now it does not look like a school cafeteria anymore. It's really fantastic. But we did have some technical problems with the furniture people, the manufacturers. And they had to refund us for some of the stuff they sent that didn't work. And then they allowed us to order and they quick shipped some custom-made tables that we needed in order to replace what didn't work. And all that arrived this week. It was awesome. And as we unpacked it, we discovered that they hadn't sent the posts for the tables. So the tables would have to rest on the floor, the tabletops, the way they had sent them. So they agreed to send these heavy posts, which they had left off, by FedEx, and said they will be here on Thursday, until Thursday came. In which case they said, well, we said Thursday or Friday. Yeah. So we decided to do an all hands on deck attitude, you know, with the team. And we just made things happen as best we could with one last thing, which is if they show up, if those posts show up on Friday afternoon, we'll put them together and we'll have a surprise oneg on Saturday at 4:30 on Friday. That's when they came. Mm-hmm. Rabbi Uri, Jared, Steve Abush, their power screwdrivers went to work. Rabbi Uri, architecturally trained, had pre-marked every table so that the exact location of the hardware could just be dropped on. And those guys, they put everything together, and Sandy and Steve and Tracy Abush put a lot of heart and soul into everything to get stuff ready. And so last night at 6:30 or 7, we realized we can do it. And so, surprise, we're going to go over there in a few minutes. one of the things that motivated us to push hard no matter what and to push everybody who we were depending on, the furniture manufacturer, et cetera, to push them was that this weekend is the weekend of Truma, where the instruction is, take a special offering in order to build my house. And we thought, that's perfect timing for us. And from our side, we will do everything we can to meet that deadline so that today we can enjoy on this particular weekend. And with God's grace and help, here we are. So it's great timing, isn't it? And it reminds us that the scripture readings that we have are well-timed. And they contain instruction. Even though it's ancient, it's timely and useful for you right now. And I hope that you will take to heart what the Lord is doing and be encouraged. Sometimes we need more instruction in order to assemble the different parts of our life together so that everything can fit together. When Rabbi Uri and Jared were putting together some of the furniture, the instructions were pretty complete, but the manufacturing process was not complete. And certain prefabricated parts had not been adequately prepared. And so Rabbi Uri is like figuring out how do you use a cordless drill as a vertical drill press in a very thin piece of pseudo wood, you know, wood chip and glue, in order to drill a hole to put things together. And it just reminded me how life can be like that. Everything can seem to be okay. Everything can be almost perfect, but there are certain details that are not perfect and represent a big challenge. How many of you can relate to that? Because you have experience with that, and you've had to drill holes too. You've had to make do. You've had to figure it out. You've had to overcome, or you've had to improvise. Some of you are wondering how you can do it even now. You're in the middle of challenges where something has to work out that you can't fully imagine. Well, the good news is that God gives us some instruction about how to put things together. In fact, the word Torah, is maybe best translated into English as God's instruction. Often we think of Torah as being law. Well, it is law because it's binding and authoritative, because it comes from the Lord, but it's instructional. And if you think of it as instruction like this, it's the assembly instructions so that you can put together a life that's worthy, because God has a house he wants to fill up. And he knows in order to have people who can live in his house with him forever, they have to learn something. And so we're sent to this earth in order to learn, to be prepared for eternity with God and with each other. And what do we have to learn? Two key things. And we can understand this from Yeshua's teaching. Two key things we must learn. Number one, we have to learn to love God. We have to learn to love God with all that we have, all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength. And to do that, we have to learn to listen to the Lord, to the one true God. This is why the Gospels together present this complete picture that Yeshua gives when he was asked, what's the greatest commandment? What is the greatest instruction? What is the first step in assembling this life? And Yeshua says, Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. This is the first and the greatest of all the instructions. Because to be close to the kingdom of God, you have to learn to listen and you have to open up your hearts to do. to love God. God is looking for people who love him. He's not looking so much for religious people, even though you will become more religious in a positive way if you love God. But it's possible to be religious without love for God. And perhaps you have met someone like that. Perhaps you were someone like that. No. But just being religious is not enough. Loving God is a tall order. That's what he's looking for. And Yeshua says there is another mitzvah, another commandment, another instruction that goes together with the first one, and it is this, v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, love your neighbor as yourself. Not just your next door neighbor, but everyone who you come across, everyone who you could treat as a neighbor, everyone who you could show care and respect to, even strangers. To love them, to show love. And Yeshua said, the whole of Torah and the prophets hang upon these two. If you get these two right, you can put the rest together. And if you don't get this right, you will not put together the life that's worthy of God or worth living either. And it reminds me of how I was as a kid. I loved to take things apart. I remember taking a record player apart. It was fascinating. Figuring out how to take it apart and looking at the components. And I was diligent in taking things apart until they were really apart. I was less diligent in putting them back together. And I had this problem. When I did put them back together, there were always extra parts. Was I the only one who did this? Anybody? Yeah. And I'd look at those extra parts and I'd think, I guess I'll throw them away because who needs them? But if you have that attitude about life, you won't put the first things in first place. You won't put the other things that depend on that in the right place. And you'll put together a life that maybe makes sense to you, but it won't work. And in the end, you'll have these leftover pieces that just don't make any sense at all. And so there are some key things that the scriptures reveal to us. God wants our best. That's why he's looking for people who love him with all that they have. And who will love other people in the same way. He's looking for your best. He's not looking for leftovers. He's not looking for the stuff that's in your recycled container that you intended to throw away or just donate to Goodwill. He's looking for your best, and that's why he wants love, because it comes from the heart, and it comes from the best place in the heart. That's number one. Number two, he wants your best when it comes to time, and that's why he gives you Shabbat. Every day can be useful, but he says that he rested on the seventh day. And Yeshua says that the Shabbat was given for mankind, not mankind for Shabbat. Some people completely misunderstand that and think that means that Shabbat has no value whatsoever. That's incorrect. What Yeshua is saying is this: mankind needs what Shabbat offers you. And without it, you won't be rested and refreshed, even if you take lots of leisure. But to gather in the house of God, to worship together, to serve him, to read from the scriptures, to be edified together, to serve the Lord together, and to serve one another, this is what you need. It's what you need. In the same way that an automobile engine needs oil and fuel and is no respecter of persons. Some people like to challenge their car by letting the light come on the fuel tank gauge to see how far can they go. But I tell you this, when you run out, the car does not respect you. right? When you're out of gas, it doesn't matter how rich you are or how much you know about fuel. You could even have stock in a gas company. It won't help you at all. You're out of gas. As well, if you let the engine oil deteriorate or get to too low a level, what will happen to the engine? It will seize up, right? It will break down. And it doesn't matter how religious you are. It will happen. In the same way, the Lord's saying, your life will seize up. You'll run out of gas if you don't know how to give God your first. And the first that he asked for is this: make sure that the seventh, one-seventh, his Shabbat, is given to him off the top. And then organize the rest as you need to. That's a tough order, right? A lot of people say, well, if I had more time, I would do it. Well, you don't get more time until you do it. It just works like that. I'm not a Sabbatarian, or I'm not being religious about this. I'm just saying it's like oil and gas. It's the way it is. It really does work. The last thing is this. The Lord says, I want your money. I want your resources. But I want them connected to your heart, because they always are. And so I'm looking for people who are cheerful and faithful. These two things. And the Lord says, give me the tenth from the top, not from the bottom. You know what that means? Don't spend all your money first and then see if you've got enough left over. This is simple. It's part of the instructions that the Lord gives. Without respect for anybody's finances, whether you have a lot or a little, whether you're struggling or not, he says, give it from the top, and I'll make the rest work for you. Maybe not for all of your ambitions. Maybe not for all your lusts. Not for your time frame. But in time, I will take care of you and cause you to prosper and increase. But give it from the top, not from what's left over. That's a key. And give the whole amount, the Lord says. Don't try to negotiate. Don't steal. He used that word. I didn't use that word. Not me. Well, let's look at Exodus 25, these few verses. Exodus 25, 1 through 6. The Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to bring me a terumah offering, which means an offering from the top. You are to receive the offering from me from everyone whose heart prompts them to give, or who is stirred to give. The implication is if people are neutral or apathetic, don't receive from them. Because the Lord's looking at the heart here. These are the offerings you're to receive from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red and another type of durable leather, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastpiece. And then verse 6, make for me a sanctuary that I might dwell with them. Isn't that awesome? The Lord is explaining why. He's saying, give the best, because I want you to make a sanctuary for me. And the Lord knows this. The sanctuary that's being made is like a copy of the pattern. But the real sanctuary in heaven is so much more incredible that it can't be duplicated perfectly. Do you understand that? But the Lord is saying this must come from people whose hearts are stirred by thinking about this and who want to give, even though they haven't seen what Moses saw. But they're saying yes to the Lord because their hearts are stirred. Can you imagine hearing the news that God wants to dwell with the people? This slave nation that's been through so much suffering and lived at the very lowest level of society and has now been rescued out of slavery, and they're wandering around in shacks in a foreign land, trying to find their way through the wilderness, through the desert. And all they have to depend on is God. And the Lord says, I want to dwell with you. I want to settle with you and make a home for you and with you. That could be so exciting. And the people who were stirred, they gave, as we'll read about in the weeks to come, they gave, and it was the beginning. It was the beginning of the sanctuary for the Lord. But this was not the ultimate sanctuary for the Lord on earth, because there was a permanent dwelling place, and that was the Jerusalem temple. But that wasn't the ultimate sanctuary, because that temple would come to an end. And at the perfect time, the Lord had already arranged for a new atonement and a new priesthood and a new kind of temple made up of living stones. People who were disciples of the Lord, who were loving him with all their heart, soul, and strength, and were loving each other the way Yeshua had loved them, and who were serving God by serving Messiah and following the teachings of Yeshua. And he wanted to turn those people into living stones who could be built up together and could be a double sanctuary in this way, each person receiving the Holy Spirit. And thus, each person being a little sanctuary, but each of us being like a living stone that's set in place to make a house together for the Lord. People who are stirred. People who have vision, people who have desire, people who say, I see who you are in a natural way, but I see beyond that. I see you the way God is seeing you. And I show love to you and respect to you in the way that God shows it to me and to you. And together, we can do something that is unbelievable. You may be one of those people who's disappointed in congregational life over the years. And there are plenty of reasons to be disappointed. Just make sure you leave that in your past so that it doesn't ruin your present and your future. And have that attitude that Sandy had, which was, there's got to be something better. And I'm going to pursue it until I can help build it myself. But the Lord knew this. When you put your heart into building the house of God together, not just you, but your generations with you, it makes a difference. You make a difference. And what God does when we are together is so much greater than what we could do by ourselves. So this is awesome. So part of the sanctuary is for prayer and for the activities that we tend to think of as spiritual activities, and they are, and places where we worship and we serve together. But what comes before that, if you remember the Torah reading from last week, is those 70 who sat down and ate with each other and the Lord before the building. They learned to have fellowship together with the Lord. And so when you grasp that, then you understand how important it is that we open up on Truma weekend, our Shalom Center, which is dedicated to fellowship and to outreach, fellowship with each other in reaching out to others with the good news and with the love of Messiah. Because we're following that heavenly pattern. We're following that earthly pattern that God made for us, where we learn to have fellowship with each other, not just to hang out, but to build up and to be strengthened in the Lord. It's an awesome time. I want to thank everybody who's put their heart into the Shalom Center, everyone who contributed to the Take a Seat campaign and Truma offerings, and everyone who's given of their blood, sweat, and tears. Merle and Rick, who organized so many volunteer work days, thank you so much for that. Who did hard work tearing down and rebuilding in the first phases of the renovation over there. And for everyone who put their heart into completing the renovation, for Steve Abush and for Craig Wagner, who helped head up with Jared the Take a Seat campaign, and so much thanks to all the people who are working together, for Steve and Tracy organizing the hospitality ministry there. And thank you to Rabbi Uri and Jared for the work they've done on projects and pieces to put this whole thing together. And special thanks to my wife, because she had vision without which this would not have been accomplished. And she wholeheartedly accept instructions to prepare plans for Bay Meadows, where we could have a center for fellowship, a cafe-type place. Remember, Brian, when we thought, oh, we could do it there. Well, it didn't work to do it there. And so when we were organizing plans for doing it here, she came up with a beautiful plan for next door. And it was incredible. But we couldn't make that work. And so she accepted that and moved on and came up with yet another plan. And she has labored day and night and through the night, reworking things. Some people would just give up. Like, why didn't you tell me the first time and I would have done it once? She's had to do this over and over again, but to bring something into reality that didn't even exist, this is an immense accomplishment. Honey, thank you so much for your perseverance and your creativity. And there are a few more things to go over there, but it's ready to use. And so we're rejoicing. And Sandy, there's a reserve table for you, marked with flowers and a little reserve sign over there. So I want you to be the first to go out. Almost now. I have to give some other instructions. This is what I'm asking for. Everybody who's here who went on that Budapest and Dutch trip, if you can join Sandy at the side doors there. Sandy, could you get up now? Okay. Yeah, now would be now. Because this group of people went out at personal expense and time in order to get vision for what we did here and are doing there. And it's not just about a building. Even though a building is important, it's what we can do together in such a space. And I think you will be delighted in what we have done in the field. And we are asking children to pick up if they drop something and to clean up if they spill something. We're asking everyone to help empty trash cans. If you make a mess, clean it up. Real simple. This is not a restaurant. We're all serving together, and we're going to be a neat family that takes care of our stuff. Okay? Because we want to be. Not because we're neurotic, though we are. But because we want to be. So these are folks, many from that group of 13 that went 10 years ago almost. 10 years ago next month. Went in order to get vision for what we're now doing. So let's just thank the Lord for them and their what they have done. And we have bagels and cream cheese and coffee and tea. And we're ready to serve you. And those who have children, what you need to do is get them. Before we dismiss, let's just thank the Lord. Lord, thank you for this perfect timing. Thank you for Truma. Thank you for the fact that we could work together and persevere and we could fulfill the first steps of what you've called us to do, to make a house for you, to make a sanctuary for you so that you could dwell with us and we could dwell with you and together. And I pray for your blessings on us as we open up this new chapter. And I thank you in so many ways in the name of Yeshua. Amen. So we are not going to have the Aaronic benediction right now because that triggers certain behaviors. And we don't want, some of them are people come up and they ask lots of questions. I'm leaving. I'm going that way too. What I want you to do is, if you have children, get them and bring them over. And if you don't have children to pick up, I want you to come out these doors and follow us as we go, and we have an oneg together. So Shabbat Shalom, everyone. What a wonderful day this is. Come with us.